It is my honor today again to introduce this wonderful man of God to you. And I've told him, treat this house like it is his house. He and his wife have been great pastors, built a great church in Charlotte, North Carolina, but has traveled all over the world, sharing the word of the Lord on every media outlet that you can imagine with some of the greatest ministers from Benny Hinn on down. In fact, one of the great miracles that happened in Benny's ministry was when he was ministering with Benny Hinn. And so anyway, I'll let him tell you about it. But would you do me a favor? Would you stand on your feet and let's give God the praise.
What I do in the presence of God, just learn to relax. Don't try to make anything happen, just relax. So great to be here in beautiful Cookeville. And just beautiful, what a beautiful area. My wife is named Pam, and I call her Pamela. When I'm not calling her yes ma'am and boss. But our goal, our plans and goals is actually to settle in Tennessee and travel the world out of there. I love Tennessee. Always have loved it. And so that's our goal. So maybe we'll settle at Cookeville. Beautiful. You're going to like me, so don't even worry about that. All right? You're going to like me, okay? So let's put that to rest. To be with Pastor Shane and Pam Warren is just an incredible pleasure. I love this couple. I respect them to the highest. And they are some of the most valuable people I've ever met. And I use that word, value. I'm just so glad to be here. I have enjoyed Pam's incredible cooking. And then we ate at an incredible restaurant last night, and I laughed so hard. I thought I was funny. I thought, being from a family of 19 kids, you know, I thought, well, I've got some really funny stories. And this guy is the champion. Him and Pam have been through more hilarious. I'm telling you, y'all gotta tell them to write a book. They've got to get all these things out, because Pam and I went to bed last night laughing, get up this morning laughing. It was just so hilarious. I just made my day. It's what I guess I needed. But it's such a pleasure to be here. Good to be with you. What a great young man you are. Adam, what an anointing. Met your kids, haven't met your wife, but I'm sure I will. And met you yesterday, and you. Did I meet you? Saw you. I don't know if I met you. Don't know how I could have missed you. You know, I'm just kidding. I was thinking back this morning when I was 6'5 and 350, had hair like Elvis. Then I was born, I gave all my genetic anointing to that son of mine. Now he's 6'5. Okay, so I got my wife with me, and I kind of, every day I look at you, I kind of think it is kind of crazy what we've done together and everything. How God would, I had so many girls that wanted to marry me growing up in New Brunswick. So many times I could have bit the bullet. And God just kind of held me back. And then, yeah, I come from Canada, from a family of 19 kids. Don't watch your clocks now. I'm kidding. So what do you know? I'm just waiting on God. That's how I do it. It's weird, but it works. All right? It works. I don't know what God's going to do. I know what I'm going to do, but I don't know what he's going to do. Hopefully, I'm going to do what he wants me to do. But I come from Canada, New Brunswick, Canada, right up above Maine. Anybody from there? It never happens in our meetings. Never happens. But it's up above Maine. I grew up in a little fishing village called Black's Harbor, right on the Bay of Fundy. I could throw rocks and hit the Bay of Fundy. I fished flounder every day. I fished trout every day. I would go down on the old fishing boats and just say, Maker. There was an old guy named Maker. Maker, can I come on? Yeah, okay, but mind your business. Don't steal anything. And I'd go on Maker's boat and sweep, and he'd give me some food. My dad died when I was 9 years old. My mother never remarried. She raised, well, it was 19 of us, 11 boys and 8 girls. She was 4'10". Right, 4'10", 4'9", a little Pentecostal lady. She was slim and trim, tiniest little thing, had 19 kids. Get my book when it comes out. I'm writing a book. It's called Remember Your Future. And it's a lot of life stories. It was pretty incredible when I think about it. Can you imagine 11 boys and 8 girls, no twins, no adoptions, and every one of them looked and acted like the devil. And I was number 18, so I'm glad you had at least 18 or I wouldn't be here. She had the oldest brother, my oldest sibling, Willie. His name was William, but we called him Willie. He was the first one that got saved in our family. There was an alcohol curse on our family really bad. And God used Willie, because he was an alcoholic. God used Willie to break that curse. In the middle of a Sunday afternoon, Willie was drunk, walking home. And there was this little Pentecostal church where I grew up in. About 70 or 80 people it sat. And Willie walked in that church between services, staggered down the aisle. Well, there was this little old lady named Doris Walsh that fasted every Sunday, and she would stay at the church and pray till the evening service. She was a kooky little gal. She would tell all of her husband's sins in her testimony. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can still, if I don't control myself, I will end up laughing so hard. But she would get up and squeal on him what he was doing. He'd get up and walk out. And he was peculiar. But she was there that day praying, and Willie walked in, and he was drunk. And she called the pastor, Pastor McElroy. She called him. She said, "That Buster boy over here, whoo!" She's a hooter, whoo! And Brother McElroy come over and, of course, tried to pray with Willie. Couldn't get anywhere with him. He was drunker than an old skunk. And told Willie, "Now, Willie, I want you to go home, and I want you to take a rest, sleep, sober up, drink some coffee. But I want you to come back to church tonight." Now, you tell that to an old drunk, they ain't going to do that. But Willie did it. I don't know why. Just God. He did it. He actually went home, went to bed, got up, drank some coffee, and came back to church that night and walked down the aisle and gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was the first one in our family that got saved. And then they took him out in the Bay of Fundy, like an hour later that night, in the Bay of Fundy and baptized. And that started revival in our family. And so Willie was the first one born. And then the next one, his name was Vernon. So mother had her first child. She married, my father was like 16 years older than my mother. And I think my mother married him when she was 15 or 16. And she had her first child at 16, I believe. That would be Willie. And then 17, she was pregnant again. And my dad was an alcoholic. He ended up in public intoxication, disturbing the peace. And so he'd be thrown in jail every weekend. And my mother was overdue to have this second child, 17 years old. They lived on an old hill out in the boonies on a farm. There was an old farmhouse they lived in the middle of winter in New Brunswick, Canada. She told Pam and I, she said, you know, she said, I went into labor all alone. Your father, Loy, was in jail. And it was a Friday evening. And she said it was wintertime. And she said, I couldn't move because I had little baby Willie beside me, but I was having these labor contractions. And she said it was the wood stove in the house burned out. And she said there was ice on the blankets. And she said, I believed in God, but I didn't know anything about him. She said, I wasn't saved or anything. My mother was just a little uneducated gal like me from the boonies. And she said, I said a prayer to God. God, if you please help me, please help me. I don't want to die and I don't want this baby to die. No electricity, no telephone, no fire in the furnace, ice on the blankets. And the baby was born. Mom all alone. The next morning I had a Uncle Dave, who I told you about last night. Uncle Dave was driving by. And he looked up and he seen that there was no smoke coming out of the chimney. So he drove up and went in the house, and there was Mom laying there with this newborn baby laying on her chest. Uncle Dave went and got a midwife. Midwife came and they cut the umbilical cord and cleaned the baby up. And that baby grew up to be a great pastor, man of God. And he was a unique guy. He was my big older brother, Pentecostal pastor. And when did he die? 2 years ago? During COVID. Yeah, he came down with cancer. And I couldn't go to Canada because of COVID and all that. So I'd FaceTime him. And pastor, he's sitting up there, 84 years old. And I said, Vern, how you doing? Good, Lloyd. His voice was going. He talked, good, Lloyd. I said, well, God can heal you. Ah, Lloyd, I don't need to be healed. I'm ready to go. Isn't that what he said? That's the way he said, no, I don't want to stay here. I mean, that's the guy. And it absolutely blew my mind. Now, see, there's people here, sitting here this morning. By the way, you think you're going to go to heaven real soon, but you're not. Because somebody's battling cancer in this place. I feel it, see it. You're not going to go when you think you go. God isn't through with you. So I'm not telling this story to scare anybody. You understand? I'm telling this story to build your faith, man. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so I was talking. And the thing about it is that Vern and Judy had been married, 60 years, I guess, or more. And they were just like lovebirds, him and his wife. And they did statistics in 60 years. I don't think they spent over two nights apart. So, you would think, Vern, you should be wanting to stay. He said, oh, no, I've done my work. I'm ready to go. Want to go. And he did. So we're a miracle. And then I started traveling, sleeping in Sunday school classrooms, just preaching anywhere God would open up. I just wanted to go. And met this beautiful girl. I prophesied to a pastor in Georgia. I said, hey, I'm invited to Mississippi. And I said, I'd never been there before. I said, but my wife is waiting for me there. And I was 21 years old. And the pastor laughed at me, and I said, hey, don't laugh, man. You'll be coming to my wedding down there. Just the way it goes. And I flew into Mobile. Pastor picked me up and drove me to Pascagoula, where they had that squirrel revival. I'm going too long, aren't I? I better hurry up, because I want you to hear from my wife for a moment. And can I just flow? I only got today. You may never see me again, so put up with me. Went to Pentecostal Church in Pascagoula. First time in Mississippi. And I remember walking on the platform, that big old building. And I remember seeing this beautiful gal playing the piano. And I'm scratching my head inside, you know, mentally. I'm thinking, I wonder if she's taken. She sure looked good. I'm lonely. I'm single. I can't take care of myself. And that would really be a big catch. My family wouldn't believe that I had somebody as beautiful as that one. Well, no, because they had so many girls that wanted to marry me up in Canada. So I can't stretch that. But no, that was Pamela. And that was over 39 years ago. I ain't going to tell you all the story, because I prophesied to her, called her up late one night from Houston, and I said, you're going to marry me. She told me, I held the phone away because I thought you was crazy. And met her in January, married her in May. May 6th will be 40 years of marriage. Holy Toledo. And I don't look near that old. That's amazing. We got three wonderful children, 37, Lauren and Rocky. They gave us three beautiful little granddaughters. Kyle and Tiffany are in Austin. They've given us a boy and a girl. So we got five grand. Then my youngest surprise daughter, she's starting her final year of law school in Texas A&M. So, honey, I want you to come up, because you shine. Come on up and shine. This is my beautiful wife, Pamela. Come on.
Good morning.
I told you I gave all my height away.
He's a mess. Yeah. 19 kids, that explains a lot, right? But we are just so happy to be here this morning. This is our first time here, but we already feel at home. And you know you're in a good place when you can walk in and feel at home, right? And I've been so blessed already, even just watching these children worship and just seeing the crowd this morning and just sensing the anticipation, because we know God is going to do great things today, right? And I'll just share a real quick little story with you. I recently read something that really, really bothered me. A philosopher had said, if there is a God, then he must be loving or powerful, because he cannot be both. And that really upset me, because his reason was, a God who is loving, he can't be powerful, because if he really loved his children, how would he allow such suffering if it's within his power to deliver them from that? And it upset me, because I have a couple of relatives that have left their faith for that reason, because of some incredible suffering that they've been through and just questioning God, you know. So I prayed about that, because if I know anything, I know that God is both loving and powerful. Amen. And so I thought, you know, God doesn't always use his power to deliver us from our situation, but he'll always use his power to bring us through it. Isn't that right? And what a mighty God we serve. In my devotion time, I've been reading the story of Joseph, and I've read it many, many times, and it still always moved me to tears. And even this morning, as I listened to the Bible on audio, and I was listening to the story, and I thought about all of the suffering that Joseph went through. I can't imagine anything worse than having your own brothers. They didn't just sell him into slavery. They actually wanted to kill him. It was the one brother that said, no, let's save him, and they sold him into slavery. But through all of that suffering, Joseph looked at it at a different way. He saw his past. Instead of becoming bitter, he saw it in a redemptive way. So much that he even named his first son Manasseh, which means cause to forget. He said, because God has caused me to forget my past. And it wasn't that God had taken this magic eraser and just erased everything that he had went through. Is that he saw that God had redeemed his past. Amen. And that God could use his past and his pain and his suffering. And we know that he did. God used him to preserve the nation of Israel. Amen. And so what a wonderful God we serve. And he is mighty and he is awesome. And he's both loving and powerful. My husband told me to be short, so I'm trying to. But we have some product with us today, and we have 6 CDs. I'm going to let him tell about the 3 that we're selling, and I'm going to tell you about the 3 that we're giving away today. Very quickly, we're giving away it's the second CD that he actually ever made, but it was the first CD that he actually started writing. He prayed and he told the Lord, I want to write my own songs, and the very first song he wrote was a song called A Man After God's Own Heart. It is on this CD called Private Soul. The movement called Promise Keepers used Man After God's Own Heart as their theme song, a beautiful song. Ashes in the Rain has a song on there called Here's My Heart. My brother-in-law is with a group called David and the Giants, and they recorded that, and that song went number one all over the world. And then the last CD that we're giving away today is The Glory Is Here. This is one of my favorites. The music is beautiful. Lloyd brought it to Nashville. They had live strings put on it. It is absolutely beautiful. It's called The Glory Is Here. Lloyd was in a meeting with Benny Hinn where a little boy received his eyesight. And he wrote that song in that meeting called The Glory Is Here. And all 3 of these CDs, we are giving them away today. You can take 1, you can take 2, or you can take all 3. You can pick up 1 for a friend, but we want to gift this and sow this into you today because we love you. God bless you.
For the first time in my life. bathing every season of my life. I can wipe away my crying tears, 'cause now I have a new song in the night. Chorus with me.
Guys said, oh no, we'll have it up there, brother. We'll have it up there.
Look, can I do one more?
Yeah.
This song is called Grace. Now, this got inspired. I was, a few years ago, we had those bad tornadoes in Alabama, Missouri, all those. Remember that? Well, they was interviewing a young couple from Missouri that lost their home. Man, I was watching on the news and felt so bad. And they said, the reporter said, now, you know, you've lost your home here before in a storm. He said, yeah. Yeah. He said, well, why don't you just, you know, some people would say, well, why don't you just move? He said, because that's where I'm from. He said, I've had people criticize me for this. But he said, everybody needs a little bit of grace. When I heard him say that, I wrote this little song called Grace. I'm gonna turn it up a little bit. We're all fighting our demons, trying to win our hearts and minds. This lonely world of darkness, it will take your hope and steal you blind. In the midst of all my trouble, when I struggle just to stand, comes a warm and gentle feeling, the touch of an unseen hand. Everybody needs grace. Everybody needs the Father's love. There's more than enough to save the whole human race. There's no one among us perfect. Hey. when the lost are found, puts a smile on the just. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Ooh. Get this sermon done because it's too long. And I don't have the wind for it this morning. But let me just, I got to show you this. Everybody needs grace. These are all available. What are these? $10. That's a steal. Men and women, boys and girls, let's go back and see Pamela after service and pick up. These are, this album's called Grace, but that song Grace is not on there. I wrote another song about grace, and I invited my friend Bishop Paul Morton to sing on this with me, and this really turned out really good. This is the album that has the song I just sung Grace on. It's called Can't Hold Back. These are what, $10? Yeah, these are good deals. So I was praying the Lord that you all would buy all the stuff today, because like cassettes, like long plays, there's going to come a day when all these CDs are going to be obsolete, and you're going to say, I wish I had it, Lord. It's going to be too late. You can't go back and change the past. So... All right, so Adam, take a seat. And I love him. That's why I joke with him. I really like this guy. And then get ready for me to kind of abuse you up here, because I'll be rude to you and all that. No, I'm kidding you. Kidding you. I want to talk to you for a few moments. And I already see some things God's going to do, some things. And you got to be here tonight, because there's no replays in the kingdom of God. The anointing's caught, not taught. And tonight, I'm going to be praying for the spirit of impartation to be released in this place. There will be impartations for businesses to start, businesses already. Pam and I've been involved in things that are just unbelievable. I prophesied to the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. We spoke at Yale University. It's just crazy. You don't have the time to hear all these stories. And I'm not telling anything to brag on myself. Tell, boy, he says, I lot. I got to say I, because I'm not two people. It's me. And I'm just telling you what happened in my life. I could keep it from you. I couldn't, you know. But I'm doing it to help to, like, stimulate your faith and to inspire. So anything I tell, please, it's not, I'm too old for all this stuff. I've been doing this stuff for over 40 years. 61 years old. So I don't have any ladder to climb or axe to grind, you know. I tell stories that happen to build people's faith. But we did. We spoke at Yale University. at the World Economic Summit. I mean, it's crazy. And you would have to know that 20 years ago in Connecticut at a large church there, I prophesied, called a lady out of the audience, African-American lady, and I said, what do you do? She said, I'm a hairstylist. And I said, I see you feeding the hungry. God showed me a vision. She started crying and speaking in tongues. I said, but you're not. She said, yeah, I feed the homeless every week in the area of Yale University. And I said, you're not always going to do this. I said, God's going to raise you up. And I said, you're going to deal with heads of banks. And this is all documented. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it just blows my mind. I said, you're not going to cut hair. You'll always feed the hungry, but God's going to raise you up and you're going to deal with heads of banks from around the world. And I begin to name places: Saudi Arabia, Africa, Iran, China. And I prophesied that over 20 years ago. So if you get a word from God over 20 years ago, if it doesn't come in, don't throw it away. God keeps his word. And well, here, I'll give you this to truce. Let's call a truce. I don't want no feelings. So prophesied to her, and what, about 15 years later? Because about 4 years ago, and this, 3 or 4 years ago, this happened. She called our office and said, I got to talk to that prophet. Everything he said has come to pass. And she said, I told Lisa, our administrator, she said, everything. She said, I don't cut hair. God opened up the door. I've been in the palace of the royal crown prince of the royal original house of Saud. Been in his palace. I told him about the prophet, prophesied. He wants to meet him. I'm dealing with leaders from Iran and China, all the economic big heads. And she said, we're having a World Economic Summit, and I already told these leaders I want Prophet Buster to be the keynote speaker. And of course, I'm a multi-billionaire, and from a family of 19 kids, never had running water till 1976, and I belong in the World Economic Leaders Summit. And so we went. My wife and I actually flew up there, and we got there. You had a real nice outfit on. I forget what I wore, but yours was real nice. And we stayed at the nice hotel, and the night before the big summit started, we're having the dinner, whatever you call that. I call it dinner. And we walked into this large ballroom, and I've never been in a ballroom like that, Pastor Shane. I mean, I felt like I was gone to heaven, because it was so white and bright, chandeliers like. And there was 50 of the world leaders there of economics. And this lady that I prophesied to hadn't talked to me and seen me in 20 years. When I walked in the room, Pam and I walked, she started speaking in tongues in front of everybody. Isn't that right, hon? Am I exaggerating? I'm not exaggerating, am I? Okay. Shake your head a little more. She started speaking in tongues. She's crying. That's him, screaming like, that's the prophet. That's why we're all here. And Pam and I were standing. She run up to us and crying, squeezing us and hugging us. And she said, this is the prophecy that came to pass. She said, I want you to meet His Royal Highness, Prince Turk. I think that was his name. And, so she's grabbing Pam and I, leading us across the room to this table. And I'm asking myself, am I supposed to bow to this guy? And what? So when I reached his table, she said, "Oh, your royal highness, this is the prophet that I told you about, prophesied. This is why we're all here." He jumped to his feet, grabbed my neck and hugged me and said, "Oh, prophet, I want you to come to Saudi Arabia and tell me what God is saying." I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we've experienced, just crazy stuff, but it's God. Okay, so I thought I was going somewhere with that, but I guess I was just bragging. Well, let me just talk to you for a few moments. Wow, I've got to be out of here at 12. All right, so I'm just gonna give you the foreword of this message. All right, have you ever thought about this? Humans can live and thrive in an incredible different variety of elements. For instance, millions of people can live in Mecca where the average temperature is 110 degrees.
Yes, sir.
And then you got these other group of people that can live up in the Arctic where the temperature can get 40 below zero, right? People can survive in the Anaconda Desert where it virtually never rains. But yeah, there's people that live in parts of India where they get 500 to 600 inches of rain every year. We live in modern high rises. But yet there's people that can live in the forests of New Guinea without any technology. Humans can live under the ocean. They can live in outer space. So no other species can survive and thrive like the human species. Kangaroo rats can do well in the Sahara Desert, but they can't survive in the Arctic Circle.
Right.
Polar bears do great in the Arctic Circle, but they can't adapt to life in the Sahara Desert. Right? So human beings can survive and thrive in so many different extreme circumstances and environments. Now, it's not because we're the strongest, and it's not because we have the warmest coat of fur. We can't run the fastest. We can't go the longest without water. We can't live on so many different varieties of the wildest food like animals can. So why are we able to survive and thrive greater than any other species? Because our ability to learn. Jesus gave us the ability to learn. You raise a man in poverty, you get Abraham Lincoln. Strike a man with infantile paralysis, you get President Roosevelt. Call a man a slow learner, you get Albert Einstein.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Helen Keller became deaf and blind, but she graduated with honors. Success isn't found in your circumstances. Success is found in overcoming your circumstances.
Yes.
We can learn.
Yeah.
Isaiah 50:40 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." Jesus said, "Learn of me." So every day I live, I try to learn something new. You know, neuroscientists say every time you think a new thought, you grow a new brain cell. So you ought to wake up and just learn something new every day. Challenge yourself to learn something or do something. Because every time, you're going to renew your mind. For instance, the earth, think about this. The earth is a giant magnet that has two poles, north and south. So these poles are stretchy magnetic field lines that leave the surface of the earth at the southern magnetic pole, where they run around the planet and they interact with the sun and its galaxies, and they re-enter the earth at the northern magnetic pole in these never-unending erratic loops. our magnetic field is generated in the secret inner reaches of the earth. So a compass with its magnetic needle is actually responding to the magnetic field in the inner reaches of the earth. Do you know that in the 70s and 80s, they discovered new findings about species getting directed in their journey while they're on this earth? They found that in the 70s and 80s, these new findings shows that magnetic poles are very important for navigation among species. Many species use these electric magnetic field lines to gather food, to find mates, for wintering areas, and breeding spots. There is a magnetic sixth sense in every species. It's like a GPS. It's a navigation system that God put in them when they were created by Him. That magnetic sixth sense is present in butterflies, fruit flies, honeybees, lobsters, newts, sea turtles, whales, deers, rats, wolves, and just about everyone you can think of. In fact, bumblebees build their beehives in the same direction of their parents' beehive. Termite mounds are always built according to the magnetic direction of the poles. Termite mounds are always built north to south. Chinook salmon have a inherited magnetic navigation in them that gives them the ability to taste and smell the differences between rivers. Marine turtles can spend decades at sea before returning to the same beach that they were born in to lay their own eggs. So the theory is that magnetite acts as a tiny compass that patches magnetic information into the nervous system of these species that allows them to navigate and get where they need to go. In 1905, there was an explorer scientist named Bernhard Brunus. In 1905, Bernhard Brunus made a trek by horse to Point Ferrin in central France, down a road where he hacked away at ancient terracotta. And ancient terracotta is baked earth. It's fiery earth. It's earth that has been burnt by a volcano. And he discovered the most amazing thing about North and South Poles. He discovered that they once had been reversed. North was south and south was west. So then you start asking, well, can we get where we need to go? What happens when the poles are reversed? Can the species still get where they need to go? So there was a scientist that did a demonstration of bacteria. He did it actually on the screen. So he had these bacteria in the pond sediments because it's very important. Bacteria need to know where to go because that bacteria cell is in every species going. So the bacteria are always traversing between muddy waters and mud. And they're always going between oxygenated environments and non-oxygenated environments. So the experiment that this scientist did involved putting a small magnet near the bacteria in the pond sediment and moving that magnet around to see if that bacteria would respond. It responded perfectly. Everywhere that magnet went, bacteria went. So you have this critical cell of bacteria in these species, and no matter what traverse they have to make, no matter what changes, all these species will always get where they need to go. They will always be protected. They will always build their families. They will always have more than enough. Have you ever noticed especially here in the South, you can look on a summer day and you'll see telephone wire poles filled with hundreds of birds. And then 2 hours later, there's not one bird on the wire because their sensory perception is picking up a storm coming. That reminds me of the Holy Ghost. We live in such a technological age now. We have window sensors, car door sensors. We have so many sensors now that take care of us. When we're driving down the road, if we get too close to this line, the sensor reacts and pushes us back into our own lane. Everything is technological sensoring. And that's the way Jesus meant for the Holy Ghost. See, I'm cutting out 3/30 of the message, but that's all right, isn't it, honey? Because you and I know what's good. That's an important thing. That's what Jesus meant the Holy Ghost to be. Sensors for us. To lead us and guide us into all the truth. And once you start talking about it, you start feeling. What is the problem? Well, we got the sense of smell, seeing, hearing, touch, right? All these sensors. But our spiritual sensors have been dull because of sin. Okay? And then COVID comes along. I'm just jumping around here. And then we become like Saul. Saul had a prophet named Samuel. He died. The Philistines are coming after Saul. Saul becomes afraid, and instead of trusting God, he goes to a witch of Endor, a medium, and consults with her. Christians' hearts are failing them of fear because they're consulting the media, which is the medium, instead of trusting God, who said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you even unto the end. And so we call our pastor, I'm not coming back. Why? Well, because I'm just not coming back. I don't want to get COVID, and I don't want to die. The media has become the medium. And our sensory perception is so dull that we can't hear God, we can't trust God, and then we stick our head in the sand and put our body in the shell of fear. We quit tithing, we quit giving, we quit witnessing, we quit praying, all because of fear. But if you would have that fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost upon your life and say, God, let me hear things I've never heard before. Show me things I've never seen before. Let me believe for things I've never before. You've got all the equipment. You've got the electromagnetic power of the Holy Ghost in your life. And it will lead you, guide you, remove the stumbling blocks in front of you. I don't care if the poles shift or reverses. You will still be blessed and protected no matter what. That's why God said, consider the lilies in the field. I put my anointing in them. I put my magnetic sensory perception in them. They don't even toil or spin. My law is activated in their being. Consider the sparrow. And then he said, how much more? How much more should the Holy Ghost be in you? How much more should the Holy Ghost be in you? I am so struck in my spirit because of what I know that God can do. God says, I will move if you will let it. You have the kingdom of God in you. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. You have the Holy Ghost. All the gifts of the Spirit are in the church. They're not in one person. They're in the church. miracles, healing, discerning, tongues, prophecy. They're all in the church, and whenever you need them, you can just begin to worship and begin to call out in that gift of healing, and it will manifest and come forth. Are we robbing ourselves of victories and blessings because there's just this dullness in us? And I tell you, the first time the electoral magnetism of the Holy Ghost began to prophetically move on me, when I started preaching, I started out in the gifts of healing and the gift of miracles and the word of knowledge. Now, what that did was, for, you know, years, I could call people out, and through the gift of the word of knowledge, I could tell them what was wrong with them physically. Okay? That's the map, and that's the navigation system in that, with the Holy Ghost. And I could tell them, we'd seen great miracles. And all of a sudden, in Granite City, Illinois, many years ago, I was operating on a Sunday night, operating just like I've been operating in the word of knowledge, the gift of healing, gift of miracles. Come, son. And the gift of miracles, and having great success that night. All of a sudden, a lady who had been invited to that service, wasn't even saved, she came that night. And for a miracle, we prayed for her, and I operated in the gift of word and knowledge and miracles. And when we laid hands on her, she got healed. I mean, just healed. Well, then she turns around to walk back to her seat. And I had an encounter with the prophetic. First one I ever had was in Granite City, Illinois. It was like a new sensor was placed in me. There's a prophetic sensor that I never felt heard before. Because I was very comfortable in the word of knowledge and healing and miracles. But when she was walking back to her seat, a name came to me. It's like, this is, but if you get to know me, I'm kind of fearless because I know my own ability, which is not much. So I'm fearless because I know I can't do anything without him. And I've been delivered from people, so I don't care what people think. You know, I don't mean that disrespectfully. But you've got to, if in order to operate like this, because it is a real mental strain too, you've got to be delivered from people. Because if you ever miss, do you ever miss, Lloyd? Absolutely, I miss. I'm you. But just because I miss, don't dare to call me a false prophet. Because I'm not. I am a prophet. See? I miss because I'm human. So this night, it was just, she's walking back, and all of a sudden, a name came to my mind. And it was the name Peggy, or Peg, I think it was. And I said, lady, turn around and watch how the sensors of the electromagnetism of the Holy Ghost works. If you obey in this, he'll open up something larger. And if you obey that level, he'll open up something larger. Now I want you to learn this, okay? This is so good. This is what I learned this night. I heard a name and I obeyed in this. I said, lady, I'm just going to throw myself out there because this is the first time I ever happened. I said, do you know anybody named Peg? And she said, yes, that's my daughter. My faith went from here to there. I sensed it. I was on. I didn't crash. I didn't miss it. And when she said that, it released more sensory perception in me. And I picked up more prophetically. And all of a sudden, I opened up my mouth and I said, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy that she will never suffer from depression again and she will never try to take her own life again. That mother literally fainted. Literally fell to her face, fainted on the floor. And when she came to, she said to the audience, she said, my daughter has suffered from depression for 14 years and she's tried to take her life 4 different times. Lift your hands, everybody. Lift your hands. Oh, yeah. In fact, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Let's see what God says. Let's see what God does. Oh. Oh. Shararandrorabosanda. Hey. Oh. Just wrap your arms around them and just love on them. Lord, make us all sensitive. Sensitive. Let the sensors of prophecy, sensors of miracles, sensors of deliverance, sensors of discernment, sensors of healing be activated in every believer in this place, from the youngest to the oldest. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, 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 yeah. See, I'm already, see, you can't help but hear from God when you just give yourself to Him. You just give yourself. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I thank you for healing people today, God. I thank you for saving souls. I thank you for breakthroughs in so many people's lives. Whoa. Hey, I'm seeing people that God's healing right now. Now, let me make something clear, folks. This isn't a circus. This isn't entertainment. This isn't a magic show. This is not something we... No, this is sacred. You can't make this stuff up. I don't go to many places now because it's just been too much entertainment. They want to bring me in for a entertaining. We're dealing with souls here. I paid a great price for this, and I say that with all sincerity. Now, I may miss, but that's fine. I'm just going to see what God wants to do. Oh, hey. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, since I picked on you, I'm going to pray for you. Is your wife, you married? Where's she at? Oh, I better not bother her then. Nah, that's. Okay, if you want to get her, you get her. Prophets see it across the border, and the apostle sets it in decent and in order. That's how it works. And that's how this will work. I fill the office of the prophet. I go to places like this and give myself to God. And God gives me bits and pieces. We prophesy in part, we know in part. I pull something down. And after I'm gone, the apostle sets it in decent and in order. So we can use this, we can use that. We don't need this. I don't care. Just, we're all going to answer to God anyway. We know in part, we prophesy in part. Prophets confirm, they don't confuse. So don't you ever, you don't go against the apostles. See, Pastor, and this is so important for me to say this, because, honey, we've been to so many places. We've been doing this so long, you know. We're old veterans here. I've been there and done all that. T-shirt, got it all. Is that you? Wow. I'm having fun here. Is it all right? You and I will be buddies, you know, because we both kind of married up. You know that, right? Just reminding you there. Come on over here. Step out on faith and give you something here. Probably need some catchers because they might fall out. And well, I'm going to pray for you for healing right now. Lift your arms. I'm going to pray for complete healing from the top of your head, but especially your bones and even your shoulders. Right?
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes.
This is a good man. He has the spirit of Timothy on him. In the name of Jesus. Whoa. And there's a man being healed in prostate right now. Oh, that's pretty, that's a powerful healing right now. Oh. Say about this church prophetically tonight, so that's why I don't stay away. You can't, there's going to be no replays in this. You've got to be here. It's caught, not taught. You have to be in the atmosphere. It's good people, very good people. Okay, God's doing a couple little physical things for you that need to happen. Pressure off your heart, blood pressure, okay? But don't worry about it. It's being healed right now. Now, I see you. How long have you been married? 16 years. I see little boys. You got boys?
Yes.
Wow, the three amigos. See, I'm still watching the time. But if you bind me, I can't move. I'm telling you, if you bind me, like if you just kind of put pressure on me to get out of here, you'll be missing a lot of God stuff here. I'll tell you this. Look at me. So here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, because I don't think you've always lived here, yes or no? But I'm smelling farmland. I'm smelling onions and it's like all garlic and onions, all that. And I see all this around you. And as out, it's, I think it's out west somewhere. Out west somewhere. Western states or west coast maybe. You ever been to California? Huh?
We just moved here a year ago from California.
Say it again.
We're from California.
Wow.
Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world.
Hold on. Say it again.
I'm from Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world.
Say, well, why would God tell you that, Lord? Well, ask him, number one. Number two, the prophetic is very poetic. There's always a spiritual revelation. Because when you walk down here, what I saw is I saw in the sea green, like grass, just growing. And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me. And I didn't get California or things, but I was just entering, sensing, picking it up. And growth, 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 growth. God brought you here because you're going to grow here. You're going to grow here. I mean, and this is very prophetic for this church. Because this church is being raised up for that sweet aroma of the glory of God. The fire is going to burn out the chaff so the glory can grow. And in the next 12 months, I prophesy. Well, I'm going to hold off on that right now. Wow. Hallelujah. Man, I it's just amazing. What you prophetically are standing here for. They're standing here as a sign of incredible glory and growth that will be happening here. Plug into this church. You got the right leadership with Shane and Pam. I'm telling you, you got the right team. It is, and it's not gonna quit. It's not gonna dissolve. Is not going to dissolve. Hallelujah. See, lift your hands. See, I see. Come here, sweetheart. I see the fire. I saw the fire. Just the fire, fire, fire. But man got in the way. You know, just foolishness and attitudes and jealousy. It won't happen here where you are. Oh, that's powerful. Father, when I lay hands on them, I pray that the electricity and the electromagnetism of the Holy Spirit will flow through this audience and even through this city. And yes, Lord, yes. That, oh, just excel the growth. That's it. Write this down, bumper crop. That's what it's going to be, a bumper crop. Glory, Akadabohashata. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the glory of God. Oh, come on, give him praise now. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Give God. To the eternal. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just looking to see if it's picking up anything in the Holy Ghost. Hey, by the way, God's healing your knees while you're down there too. Thank the Lord for that. He's good. He's a good God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. Can I have a little time? All right. If you got to go, go. Hallelujah. You with the cap on. Yep, you. You dropped your head. Lift your hands, please, sir. Beautiful. Look at me. God's overhauling your body because you work so hard. Oh, he's just overhauling your bodies. No more tingling, no more circulation problem, no more pain in the back or shoulder, the hands. I just see it. Yes, Lord. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. And oh, hallelujah. I don't know. I just see you either asphalt or concrete or something. I just see stuff around you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You just poured 17 yards of concrete.
Wow.
On his slab. I release the power of the God upon you right now, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And I also call forth a mighty revival in your family in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Loose this man in the power of God. Come on, give him praise right now. Give him praise. Give him praise. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, take the walls down. Take the walls down around his heart. Let him sense. Let him feel your love. Let him feel your glory. Let him feel how much you care for him. In the name of Jesus, touch him with the power of God. Oh, this is getting really, 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 really mighty.
Let me give you something that's so important for you. There's no way I can pray for everybody here. There's no way I can prophesy. I am only human. I don't have enough prophetic bandwidth to call you up and tell you everything that's wrong. But here's what God showed me many years ago, and this is what I want you to get. Let's say I call this man out here, and I say, God, yeah, God's going to give you a new heart, okay? Maybe he's had heart attacks. Well, there may be five other men or women here with the same condition. So here's the learning curve for you. If I say it, God's just using him to build your faith so you can receive. You understand that? So whether I call you all out or not, that's not the issue. The issue is, if I call you out and you're sitting there saying, well, man, that's my problem. That's my sickness. That's my financial problem. You claim that word for yourself too. Do you understand? In the name of Jesus. So that's how it works. That's how it works. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, yeah. Somebody named David's being touched. Who's David? Who knows David? Get in here wherever you are. You David? Lift your hands. I think, is there another David here too? Oh, okay. If there's two or three, get on up here. Calling all Davids. No Goliaths. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I don't know why, but God still got me waiting for another one. Check out in the cafe or wherever. Hallelujah. Okay. This is all. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. We got one more? See, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, because every one of you, there's two things that, physical healing. I mean, my God, I just see back condition, heart condition, blood pressure, sugar, and then finances, and revival in your families. That's what I see. And so I'm laying hands on you right now.
Well, Gloria, you're a good man. I like you. Take it, that double portion. Take that man of God. Take that man of God. Take that man of God in the name of Jesus. Take that man of God. Oh, oh. You go to church here? How long have you been coming? Ever since it started. Beautiful. You're a founder? Like a charter member. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. Hallelujah. You married? Your wife here? Oh. Well, don't tell me anything. Yeah, get his wife to come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this all right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right, stop right there, because I see you working a lot, and God's healing your back right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. Hallelujah. This is crazy. Oh, take a deep breath with your new lungs, okay? Okay, Lord, I'll do it. If it's you, but if it ain't, it's going to be embarrassing. Do you like Neil Diamond? Sweet Caroline. That's a song for you. What?
That's her name. That's Caroline. That's her name.
That is... That is absolutely. Oh, absolutely is God. It ain't me. That's scary to me. Get in church talking about Neil Diamond. Come on down here. Wow. Now, I laugh a lot, but I take this very sacred. This is very sacred. And when I get leave here today, I will spend time with God going over this. And giving him praise. Lift your hands. Good people. They're good people. And they're very important to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So don't forget this day. You've also got, are you right-handed? You've got the gift of healing there.
Hallelujah.
Got the gift of healing. And it's going to be activated now. The gift of healing is just powerful. You're going to be laying hands on many women. Now I'm going to prophesy something for you. You don't have to hold them up. As we get older. Younger? Okay. I like that. Well, it is. It is. Tell Neil Diamond that. You're very important to God. You've got gifts. Your wife has the gift of touch. That's why she's got the gift of healing. She creates the touch. She creates the atmosphere. She's got, really, you both got the great gift of creativity. Hallelujah. Keep the servant heart. Keep easy to get along with. Keep being easy. Keep being clay. Because promotion comes from God. Hallelujah. You're David, right? And when I called these men out, I said, no Goliath, but there's some sort of Goliath connection with you, and I don't know what it is, but some sort of Goliath. Don't be afraid, though. Touch his heart right now. Take nervousness. anxiety, peace. I see just the future. The future is going to be very theatrical. Very theatrical. Don't rush me. Yes, Lord. I release the glory over you both.
Hallelujah.
I release the glory to fulfill your dreams. I release the glory of writing script, God says. I release that glory over you right now. You've been faithful in the little things, and God will make you a ruler of much. You will rule. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Wow. I see executive producer. That's what I see over you and over him and this church. There's going to be, that's all I got. I don't know what it means, but I glorify you in the name of Jesus. I release the glory over you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You can sit down if you want. You can sit down where you want. But I just can't. I can't quit right now. I can't. You can sit down if you want. This church has been brought together for such a time like this. There will be such prophetic deposit placed here, and Hallelujah. Come over here, young man. Over here in the, you might as well bring that big guy beside you over here too. There's being people healed in Georgia now. It's like Georgia. Yeah, you got people in Georgia, and you're gonna have big connections in Georgia. And yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let me pray for you. You go to church here. Hallelujah. God said, I anointed your voice. I've anointed your voice. And I'm re-anointing your ears to hear physically and spiritually. Thank you for the glory. Well, God says you will prophesy many people out of religion. Many people. You will lay hands on them, and God said, I will heal them. I will liberate them. I will fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And yes, there'll be some kind of a reunion. I don't know what it will be. I don't know, but I hear the word, that reunion, but it will be powerful. Be powerful. Some old friends will be calling you, okay? And they're from either Louisiana or Mississippi. Either one of those places. I'm leaning towards where my wife is from, Mississippi. Huh?
You're from there?
Yeah.
See, this is awesome, you know? Now, do I do that everywhere I go? No, you can't. No, there's some places that I don't go. It's not time. And then there's some places I go, it freezes you up. You can't minister. But there's such a, what your pastor brings here in promoting the glory, promoting this faith, well, it just, a good prophet can come in and prophesy. Ora moshanda. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Step one closer. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you're going to feel really good in your body, in your legs and in your back. You're going to feel really good. You're married, right? Are you married? Your wife's going to wake up with a smile. I'm supposed to come against something in her. I'm supposed to come against something in her. Oh, that demon of cancer. That demon of cancer. Lift your hand, sweetheart. In the name of Jesus Christ, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I take authority over this demon of cancer, this spirit of infirmity. I cast it out of your body in the name of Jesus Christ. God creates new organs in the name of Jesus Christ. You lying spirit, she will live and not die. Loose her! Come on, give God praise. Give Him praise. Be healed in your body. Be healed. Don't stop because I stop. I'm just catching my breath. You go ahead. I'm telling you, the heavens are open above your head. The heavens are open above your head. The heavens are open above your head right now. Receive your miracle. Receive your healing. Yes, receive it, lady. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Get your hands up. Receive it from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Touch her right now with the fire of heaven. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now remember, if I prophesy to one, if you got it, that's just for you too. Ah, yes, 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 in the name of Jesus. Virtue, virtue, virtue. Soak it in, stay there as long as you want. You're in the glory. You're in the third heaven. You're in the glory. Hallelujah. Wow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived. Okay, do you go to church here, young man? You're a good man. Good man. Now, I'll tell you, so let me be clear. I don't know anybody from Adam here in the natural. And like I say, this is a mental strain to step out and minister like this. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I've got to prophesy to you, and I'm just waiting for God to release me to it. Yeah, okay, so here we go. Look at me. You can be tired and hold your hands up or down, whatever you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, lift your hands. Financial miracles. Financial miracles. I don't know. It may be with some sort of construction or renovating or something, but financial miracles. Watch it. Watch it. Get ready. Take all the limits off of God. Take all the limits off of God. I just see big things for you. Grow, grow, grow. Grow your business. Grow it. Grow it. Grow it. Is that good? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm fixing it quick because y'all want me. No. Okay, so the Spirit of the Lord says you walk through darkness. You walked through darkness. You faced the demonic realm. But God's mercy and God's grace kept you from losing your mind. And you're finally on the potter's wheel. And you're finally saying, God, I'm yours. I'm not going to try to make anything happen. You remind me of me because I face darkness. And I don't know. I could have did this, prophesied to billionaires and seen millions and millions of dollars come upon people's lives. You face darkness. You face demons. You are not Jacob now. You are Israel. Hallelujah. You watch him. He's a good young man. Good young man. And you, who are you? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, you're good for him because you don't take no foolishness. And you've got the gift of faith and you've got the prophetic anointing. See? So just whenever you feel, you may not think it's anything, but whatever you feel to speak, speak it. okay? Because it grows. It grows. You bay him a little, he makes your ruler a bunch. Right? Okay, so you come through the fire, and you're on the potter's wheel. You're not Jacob, you're Israel. And the Spirit of the Lord says the devil thought he would destroy you. And keep you in a demonic prison. But it wouldn't happen. Now, the curses that were on you are broken. And freely you have received, and freely you will give. Because God's going to, when I lay hands on you, there's going to be a curse. Hold on, let me get it right. A prophetic curse breaking anointing come upon you. And you will never be the same again. You will, wow, you will liberate many captives, the Holy Spirit says. Liberate many captives. Yes, yes, yes. Get ready. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, there's in your family lineage or something, there's going to be curses of cancer broken and heart disease. I see that. And so God says you're standing in to break a generational curse. Today. Does that make sense? You're dead? It's blood. Your son's named Israel. Wow.
His middle name's Jacob.
Your son's named Israel. Your middle name is Jacob. Now that is pretty. Wow. I stand. In all of you, I stand in all of you, Holy God, to whom all praises due, I stand. Somebody's being healed of leukemia. Somebody's being healed of leukemia right now. Wow. Lord, for every person suffering from leukemia, thank you for the miracle. For every person that's got a relative suffering, thank you for the miracle right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. You're a team. You're a team. Don't ever forget it. You're a team. You're a team. Don't ever forget it. So, Lord, he's standing in. He's going to be pretty wild, I can tell you that, because he's going to have such a boldness. Plead the blood of Jesus against drug curses on people. Plead the blood of Jesus against violence. Violence in people, young men, anger, violence, and rebellion. You're going to see a mighty revival in this church, I'm telling you. And wow, it's going to be really powerful. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, when I release, just release that glorious anointing. Thank you for breaking generational curses of heart disease, of cancers off of us all in the name of Jesus. Off of us all in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. All right. I'll do it, Lord. Hallelujah. I used to live in North Carolina, and you've been there before because I know we're that close. But there's something about North Carolina the Lord told me to tell you. Put up your hand. He said, you will never, ever go through. You will never ever go through. You will never ever experience that darkness. you are free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Take the fire of the Holy Ghost. Come on, give it praise. Give it praise. Give it praise. Give it praise. In all of you, God. 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 I stand in all of you.
I'm about to quit because I'm wore out. This hard on the mind. It is. It's flesh that wears out. Pastor, I'm going to turn it to you. I need energy for tonight. And you can give the altar call. I'll just... I got prophecies tonight for this church and you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Tonight at 6 o'clock, the anointing's caught, it's not taught. You can't buy it, you can't bribe it, but there's a price to pay. If you obey the word of the prophet, you will prosper. Wow. This ain't a cheap atmosphere. This is glorious. Shadabanda.
First thing I want to say, first of all, let's give God the glory for what he's done. God be the glory. To God be the glory. You guys don't know a lot of things, but I'm first of all, I have not talked to Prophet Buster about any of you. Even at the table yesterday with a few of us, he would tell us, don't tell me nothing. He does not know anything about anybody in this room. Nothing about you. Nothing about your mama. Nothing about California. Nothing about why he's here or his family. Right? Yeah, so he mentioned North Carolina. I'm gonna let him to tell you what North Carolina means. Because only God could have just said that. Tell him what North Carolina.
I was born in Leicester, North Carolina, outside of Asheville. I lived there for 30-something years. Went through a lot in that town, a lot of hurt, did a lot of things, but it's always haunted me. No more. I'm free.
And it was in North Carolina that the demons started. Incarceration, prison for 3 years in North Carolina. See, nobody knows that in this room. Nobody knows that. Leukemia in his daddy, heart disease in his daddy. Nobody knows. He doesn't know anything. I have not told him anything. So the reason I'm telling you this is because everybody talks big game. Boy, I wish we had the gifts of the Spirit in operation. We have the gifts of the Holy Ghost are here. And what I've learned is when you get in this atmosphere, this activates what's already in you. And then you'll start flowing in this. So tonight, the impartation is so important. When he says it's caught, it's not taught, it's true. Nobody can teach you the method because it's different. The Holy Ghost works different in everybody. Nobody can teach you a method. But what happens is you get around that anointing like Elijah touching Elisha. And it activates what's in you. It's been there all the time. You didn't know it was there. It activates what's in you. It's so important. So important. So tonight, we're going to come back with great expectation. And again, tonight, young people, cram up here, set in the floor. We'll make room. And I want to talk to the young people. Well, I don't care if you like it or you don't. Anyway, so I'm pastor. I'm not a guest. So I want all the young people to look right here, Pastor. When I got saved, and we were poor, we didn't have nothing, living in a hotel room, a prophet of God by the name of Nelson Douglas came to our church. We had just been saved, had nothing. This prophet of God pulled my daddy up and said, all your life you wanted to own your own business. In 30 days you'll be a millionaire. We were living in a hotel room. And then I watched what God did through the prophetic impacting my family. So all my life, I've chased it. It wasn't till 2 decades ago, I had words of knowledge that was coming to me, people's names and addresses. Pam will tell you, we go to restaurants, I tell people they're pregnant and everything. But I was taught in church it was witchcraft. In a Pentecostal church. The only gifts you could use in a Pentecostal church was tongues and interpretation. Everything else was witchcraft. That's what I was taught. When I got around this, all of a sudden it activated, it freed me to start moving the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So all of you young people, I want you to understand something. Being in this kind of atmosphere awakens something. See, here's the thing. When Adam tried to walk away from God, it wasn't my preaching that pulled him back.
Come on.
Now, I lived the life in front of him best I could. It wasn't my preaching pulled him back. What pulled him back to God is he laid in bed at night and he remembered all the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the demonstrations of power. And he said, I can't run from that. And can I tell you something? Your kids are not impressed by any preachers. They're not. But they can get something in the power of God that they can't get anywhere else. That's the reason I can't run from God. Right? Father, I thank you for everything you've done in this place. We so honor you, Master. We so honor you. Holy Spirit, you know us better than we know ourselves. You search the deep things of God. You even search the heart of a man. Thank you for laying all of our hearts bare. Lord, if there's anything in our life this morning that is displeasing you, forgive us. Forgive us. We want to honor you with our whole life and activate something powerful in each of us today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now listen, I've already set aside money, but tonight we're going to receive an offering for Prophet Buster. So you prepare what you're going to bring tonight. Pray about it and prepare. You got something?
Prophet Buster, I thought it was the weirdest thing when you're singing and walking. And I can't shake what I heard the Lord tell me to tell you. He has a lanyard around your neck. And it has a badge and it says VIP. And that God is saying in this season to come, he's bringing you behind stages. He's bringing you to the back stages of things. And he's giving you VIP access. He's giving you access to something that's beyond what any man can think you have access. I just felt like I had to release that word. I couldn't shake it.
Amen. All right. Be patient getting out of the parking lot. Love on everybody. Remember, he's got free CDs he's giving you out there. He's got CDs of mine. You're crazy if you don't go get something. I love you. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I will see you back at 6:30. We'll have the doors open at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock. We'll have the doors open at 5.